Welcome back to another episode of On Life and Being Human. I am your host, Catherine Colleen, and this is the podcast where we go more in depth into the articles that you can see on the website at catherinecolleen.com or koabd.com, and we take your questions. You can send your questions in to questions@koabd.com, or you can use the quick little form that's there on the community page of the website and send your question in there. If you would like to be anonymous, just say so, and I'll make sure that you are. So today we're talking about the capacity to love and be loved. And this is a really critical concept, because a lot of the pain that you may experience in this life can be attributed to the idea that you think somebody loves you. They say that they love you, but then they act like they don't. And so this can be extraordinarily painful when this happens. And it gets even worse, because love is one of our six basic needs. I was listening to this fantastic entry by Tony Robbins. Of course, Tony Robbins, he's amazing. Where he was going through the six major needs that we all have, the basic needs. And of course, love is one of them. And we will do anything to be loved. In fact, Tony Robbins would say that our entire worldview and the way that we operate in life and where we're going in life is hardwired in based on what we had to do to get love from whichever parent you craved it from more. Or you might have actually taken those requirements and rejected them and gone in the opposite direction. Either way, it formed who you are. It's an interesting thought. But we all want to be loved. And we want to love others. And unfortunately, sometimes the people that we love do not seem to love us very much or at all in return. And it's even worse when they claim to love you, but their actions clearly speak otherwise. This can be very confusing. They insist that they love you. And this is the scenario that I really want to focus on. Unrequited love sucks, but this is I think, almost worse. So I want to talk about the scenario. This could be your significant other. This could be your parents. This could be your children. This could be your cousins, siblings, aunts and uncles. Could be anybody. Anybody that insists that they love you, but the actions and their words may demonstrate that they do not. And it becomes really confusing and painful. Do they or don't they, right? You're trying to figure out, like, are they lying to me? Or is it the truth? But then why would they act that way? And it's torturous, because your mind just grinds on trying to figure it out. And I believe, especially when it's family, it's possible if it's a significant other that they are lying, right? That there's something in it for them, and that's why they would claim to love you. Or it could be that they don't love you, but they're just confused. They lust you. And so there's a difference, right? The difference between love and lust, and people get confused easily. You can get confused. But it could be that they actually do believe that they do love you. And so a real possibility that you need to consider is that they do. They do love you, but it's to the limited extent that they can. Not everybody has the same capacity to love. Love is a verb. It's an action. It's an ability, and it's a capacity. And it's something that you can build like a muscle. And it's something that some people just don't have the same capacity, right? We're not all excellent runners. We're not all really good at math. everybody's different, right? And not everybody has the same capacity to love. And so the large majority of the time, unless it's a one-night stand or a random stranger, if it's your family, it's your spouse, it's a long-term love interest, it's your children, it's your cousins, and so on, they really do actually love you. However, and this is really super critical, their capacity to love you is limited to their capacity to love themselves. And it's no different for you either. Your capacity to love someone else is limited to your capacity to love yourself. And we often pay a lot of lip service. Oh, I love myself so much. Do you? Do you really? Do you look in the mirror and you think, oh, you know, you're amazing? Or do you look in the mirror and critique yourself? Right? If you were your significant other, would you, you know, would you be kind? Would you love you in the way that you want someone else to love you? I don't know. These are important questions to ask. So the capacity to love others is limited to the capacity to love yourself. And when you look at others in this way, so take that person that claimed that they loved you, but acted like they didn't, and it was confusing. Look at them and ask yourself, do they love themselves? And now, being self-centered and having a huge ego or being narcissistic is not loving yourself. So don't get that confused, as easily confused. Do they really love themselves? And look at the evidence. If they're out there spending a ton of money on things to make themselves feel fulfilled, then no, they don't love themselves. If they're obsessed with things, then no, because they're looking for love and acceptance through objects. And the capacity to love yourself is not a one or a zero, right? It's not 100% or none. It grows, it can grow, especially if you put in some effort, over time. So you can think of it as kind of a sliding scale. How much, you know, a volume, how much quantity of capacity do they have? So they can only love you to the extent that they love themselves. So someone who hates or despises themselves cannot love you in the way that you probably expect them to or want them to. They're limited, therefore, in what they can be for you. Because if you're looking for someone to love you, and we're all looking for that, we all want that, that unconditional love that we're promised and that's idealized, right? We all want that. It is damn hard to find, because you're only going to get that unconditional, that's a full capacity love, when you find someone that has unconditional love for themselves. And it is hard to get to that point. So if the capacity is limited to how much they love themselves, that means they're limited in what they can be for you. So, for example, someone who generally likes themselves but does not really love themselves, you can be like, yeah, you know, I think I'm pretty cool, but I got issues, you know. And that's different from being honest about the fact that you've got challenges that you're working on. Do you like yourself? Do you love yourself, right? So someone who generally likes themselves but doesn't really love themselves, they can be a friend or an acquaintance to you, but they cannot give you the kind of romantic love or parental love that you're looking for from them, or that you deserve, that we all deserve. Relationships, be it family or romantic, will appear to work well when times are good. And when you are well matched on your capacity to love, Right. So if you and your spouse have a similar capacity to love, then when times are good, things will seem to be working really, really well. And when times are not good is when you will start to see the cracks. Because when times are not good is when you are seeking more love, right? Because when times are bad or times are difficult, be it for whatever reasons, financial reasons, medical reasons, whatever, when times are bad, you will seek more love, right? We seek comfort. And when you go to seek that additional love and comfort, it won't be there. And then there will be conflict. And this is true not only in romantic relationships, but family relationships as well. Let's suppose your parents have, because it's easy to pick on our parents, let's suppose your parents have a somewhat reduced capacity to love you because they have a reduced capacity to love themselves. And then you hit on bad times and you go to your parents seeking comfort, seeking that unconditional parental love. Well, you're not going to get it. And then you're going to be really like shocked and confused and upset as to why you're not getting it. And it's because they're not able to be that for you. And they can't be that for you because they can't even be that for themselves. And that's what's going on. So if you're similarly matched and times are good, everything will look like it's working out fine because you are not calling on that full capacity. You're not looking for it. You're not asking for it. So be careful of that. But over time, we each evolve at our own pace, right? Time changes us all. And generally, our capacity to love ourselves and therefore our capacity to love others will grow over time as we evolve. So I'm always harping on this cycle of human development. If you haven't seen it yet, go to the website and just do a search for a cycle of human development. As you get into later stages, and remember, we're always wrapping back around the cycle. It's a cycle, not a staircase. But as you get into these later stages, you'll find that your capacity to love yourself grows. And that feels wonderful and has many wonderful benefits. But that also means that your capacity to love others grows. And that's wonderful. So over time, we tend to evolve, and generally our capacity to love ourselves and others grows. I caveat that. I say things like generally because sometimes people get stuck in certain stages and they never get past them. So in that case, they will never have an increased capacity to love beyond that amount. They get stuck. Sometimes you're stuck for a while and then you push past it. It's impossible to predict that, oh, well, by the time you're 70, you have a complete capacity to love. Now, everybody's wildly different, and you could hit full capacity to love yourself unconditionally and therefore others. You could hit that in your 20s. Not likely, but it could happen. You could hit it in your 30s, in your 40s, in your 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. You may not hit it till your 100th birthday. You may never hit it at all. But generally, it will continue to expand over the course of your whole life, as it will for everybody else. So as the differences between your capacity to love and the capacity of those around you, as those differences become apparent, you may misinterpret their lack of capacity as not loving you. And looking at their not loving actions, you will find plenty of proof, right? You will look at their actions and go, look, they did this, they did that, they did the other thing, therefore they do not love me. Or they didn't do these things, and therefore they don't love me, despite the fact that they claim that they do. That's not really true. What their actions are really telling you, what they're screaming out, is that they do not have the capacity to love you at this level, at this unconditional nature that you're looking for. That's what their actions are saying. They cannot be this for you right now. So I would tend to think, especially if it's family or a spouse or a long-term love interest, not just a short-term, that they probably do love you. They really do think and feel and believe that they love you, but they're not fully capable of loving you. So they love you to the extent that they can, and sometimes that's not much. They lack the capacity, and they lack the skills. It's just like when a child with a bike thinks and feels that they're a daredevil as they jump over small obstacles in the street. Did y'all used to do that? We used to do that. It was a much freer time. You'd be like, I'm a daredevil, because I just jumped over this shoebox. They are daredevils, but their capacity to dare is a skill set that has not developed terribly far. Evel Knievel, on the other hand, had a very developed sense of daring and the skills to match. He had the capacity to dare, and he had the skills to dare. So similarly, you can develop your own capacity to love, and you can develop the skills to love. So what does that mean? And so this is something that wasn't really addressed in the article. What does that mean, the skills? So the capacity to love, if you wanted to develop your capacity to love, which is all you can do because you cannot affect other people, you cannot say, okay, I'm going to do something to grow their capacity to love. That doesn't work. People grow when they want to grow because they want to grow. The only person you can work on is you, which is why you're here. So welcome. Thank you. So if you wanted to develop your own capacity to love, which is so worth it, you also want to develop your skills to love. And you were going to start with developing your capacity and your skills to love yourself. And I think you knew I was going there. You can work on you and your ability to love you. And this is an extraordinarily worthwhile venture, not only when you are single or between partners, but anytime. Even if you have a partner who is capable of an enormous capacity to love themselves and therefore you, it's still good to work on your capacity to love yourself, because that will benefit you and it will benefit others. So the capacity versus the skills, what is that? Loving yourself is a daily activity. When you love someone else, what do you do? What are the actions associated with that? You actively think about them. You think about them. You think about the things that they enjoy, the things that they like. And sometimes you like to surprise them with something that they like. You're kind to them. You ask them how they're doing. You care and you listen to how they're doing. You offer sympathy, or you celebrate with them when something good happens. These are the skills. And the skills, when you apply them to yourself, will grow your capacity. Think about yourself. Check in with yourself. How you doing? What are you feeling? What do you need right now? What do you need today? Do you need some patience with yourself? Do you need some compassion for yourself? Do you need a treat of some sort? Is there something that you would bring you that would bring you joy that you could offer yourself today? It might be a favorite treat or an activity or just a hot bath. People call this self-care. It's self-love, right? We care for those we love. We care for those people that we truly love. And that needs to be you too, right? Being a martyr is not going to help develop your capacity to love yourself and others. So do the kinds of things that you would for someone else, do them for you. Fix yourself a nice meal. Take yourself out. Pick yourself a flower. Develop that capacity to love yourself. Now, you also need to develop your capacity to see your own humanity. And what does that mean? That means that you see the parts you appreciate and you like about yourself, but you also see the flaws. You see the mistakes. You see the regret. You see the shame, you see the guilt, you see all the things that we feel as people, because we all feel them. And you see why you, being human, would feel those things, and you feel compassion for yourself as one member of a vast humanity, all of whom feel those things. So if you can work to see your humanity and love yourself for the full picture, the full humanity, all of it, then you will grow your capacity to love yourself and therefore your capacity to love others. So the lesson is this: to assess what type of relationship and or what type of boundaries you should have with someone, consider how much they really love themselves. Consider their capacity to love versus the kind of loving relationship that you need or that you want. Consider whether or not you're asking for more than they can really be for you right now. And while you're at it, take a look in the mirror. Is there any self-loathing you need to work on so that you can have a capacity to love in the way that others deserve and that you deserve? As always, you cannot change others, but you can assess them accurately. So do assess others, but work on yourself. And then the kind of relationships, be it family or significant others or friends, that you are seeking, you'll be able to better define that. And when you can define that well, then it will come to you. So there is the lesson of the capacity to love and be loved. I think that's enough for today. Thanks for joining us from around the world. Lots of people starting to tune in from more than 64 countries. Very cool. Thank you for joining us. You are the reason I am learning 8 new languages right now so that I can speak with you in an even better way. I will have the capacity to connect. Thanks for joining us. Send in your questions to questions@koabd.com or use the form on the community page at the website. And let me know how I can help, because that is why I am here. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.